Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Now, I don't imagine to finish the message this morning or the whole psalm. I just simply titled it Eight Results of Believing Prayer. All right, Psalm 116. If you found your place there, please stand. We're just going to read the first few verses of the chapter this morning to get started. Psalm 116, verse number 1, God says this, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Father, we thank you for your word and bless us now as we spend just a few moments in it. Father, may your Holy Spirit magnify the precious name of Jesus as we discuss the subject of prayer. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. They say that praying to the Christian is the same as breathing to the human body. Life cannot exist without it. In our spiritual lives, we need prayer, don't we? How could we make it through this world without the assistance of God? And how can we gather or gain the assistance of God lest we seek it? God spends a great deal of time in his word addressing the subject of prayer. He understands that prayer will be one of the more difficult Christian disciplines of his people. It's easy to neglect, easy to take for granted, easy to become distracted, easy to fall asleep in. If you have problems with insomnia, there's your cure. Just decide, I'm going to become a prayer warrior. You won't have trouble sleeping. I'll guarantee you, the devil will make sure you sleep like a little baby. I don't know if I'd ask Pastor Stephen how a little baby sleeps. From regularly, he'll tell me, Sophia woke me up again. But you know, there's nothing quite like being able to approach the throne of grace with boldness. Prayer, they say, turns the hand that turns the world. If there's a need that we have that seems to be an impossibility, that seems to be beyond the realm of human acquisition or us to be able to see come to pass, we know we can go to Almighty God who simply spoke everything into existence. And as Dr. Mark so well said about creating even man, what a thought to think that God showed his care for us to, rather than speak us into existence, formed us into existence. What a thought if you just stop and dwell on that for just a little while. That God took such care to form us. He certainly must invest himself in us a great deal. He certainly must care for us, love us a great deal. And of course, we link that with John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We don't have to question the love of God, and therefore we know that we can come to him in prayer because he has such care, such love for each one of us every day. And as we pray to God, we know that he hears and that he answers. If we neglect prayer, it will adversely affect our Christian life. And that's kind of the angle I want to take as I look at the 116th Psalm. There's different awarenesses that we will acquire in no other way than if we pray. Believing prayer, more than just the, Lord, thank you for this food, or the, now I lay my head down to sleep prayers. But prayers that invest our emotions and our desires and our needs and our wants and those of those that we care about as well. In verse number 1, the first thing we find, if we'll be faithful and regular in believing prayers, that we'll gain an awareness of the worth of God. Of the worth of God. Let's look at that verse again. The psalmist says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Now, notice what the verse doesn't say. Sometimes it's just as important to read what God doesn't say as it is to read what He does say. God does not say through the psalmist, I love the Lord because He hath answered every prayer and every supplication. He doesn't say that, does He? In fact, you don't even find the word answer in that verse. Now, He's obviously referring to prayer, and He's referring to taking His needs, and He referred to in verse number 3 what appeared to have been a terrible crisis in His life, and yet as He's reflecting on how God dealt with him and how God cared for him and how God took care of him during that time, He says, I don't praise you and thank you and love you because you gave me my every desire. He's not that little kid who gets so discouraged because God didn't give him a pony for Christmas this year again. He's not concerned with the answer. Well, take that for what it means. I don't mean he didn't want the answer. Of course, he wanted the answers, but he's not concerned when God doesn't answer the way that he asked. I've been a Christian now for over 40 years. And one thing I've learned is that God oftentimes answers my prayer in a way entirely different than what I asked it. And that's why he tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 to be watchful in prayer. Otherwise, we'll miss the answers that God gives us because we've asked for something specific, but God wants to give us something even better or in a better way than what we asked so specifically. I had to replace my car. Guess what I wanted? I want another Jag. Guess what I test drove? Another Jag. But God just made it clear, don't buy this car. I don't understand it. I wound up with an Equinox, one of my least favorite cars on the planet. But God has His purposes. God has His reasons. And I love Him for answering my prayer. And I love Him for hearing my prayers and giving me my heart's desire. Even though it's not a black Jag. I don't pout, do I? But the psalmist said, through my prayers, in awareness in prayers, I become aware of the worth of God. I understand now, the psalmist says, how important God is in my life. When everything was going well in his life and he prayed, the prayers didn't mean all that much to him and his needs weren't that great. And so he didn't feel that vast dependence he really always had on God. He thought, I can handle this thing called life and everything is going smoothly. I'm in control. And then God threw the crises in to stir him up, to bring him back to his senses. And it drove him to his knees and he understood how much he needed God and how much he valued God's presence in his life and how much he valued just the very privilege of being able to go to God in heaven with his needs. Yes, prayer gives us an awareness of the worth of God. Someone who does not know God, where do they go when they need counsel? Where do they go when they need guidance? Where do they go when they need solutions to the problems in their life? Where do they go when they need wisdom as to even such simple things as which car to buy? Where do they go? They have nowhere. But we have Almighty God. The same God who spoke and it was so. The same God who holds the future in His hand. The same God who sent His Son to die on the cross for our sin. That same God wants us to go before His throne of grace and wants us to pray and ask Him and present our needs and our problems and our desires and our hurts and everything. We could go into the Gospels and we could see how Jesus encourages even the small, insignificant things in our minds that He wants us to present before His throne of grace. The worth of God. We're not going to become aware of the value of God in our lives more so than when we go before Him in prayer. In verse number 2, we're presented with something else the psalmist became aware of. He says, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. He became aware of the value of prayer. The value of prayer. Now, you only understand the value of prayer as you receive those answers. And I said just a moment ago, you only understand the answers, you only recognize the answer if you're careful to watch. How often do we watch in prayer with thanksgiving? You see, that with thanksgiving is just as important as the watch. Because we can take a list and we can record on that list, and many do, every request they make before God. And as they see God answer it, they cross it off. And that's a good discipline or a good practice to be in, but we're only doing half the job if that's all we're doing. You see, what God's purpose in us watching and recognizing and seeing those answers is that we then might become grateful and fall to our knees in thanksgiving. You know, I think that's going to be our eternity, our activity in eternity for much of the time. Just thankfulness, gratefulness, falling on our face before Almighty God that He would allow us into His heaven. That He would make a way of escape from our sin and the fires of hell. I think we're going to be caught up in thanksgiving. And I think we're going to look back at our life and we're going to see some of the things we went through, some of the things in our mind that we endured, and we're going to see it from God's perspective then. And we're going to look back at those difficult times when we questioned God and questioned His love and questioned His ways, and we're going to look back and we're going to say, God, I was so foolish. I understand now. Now I want to give you thanks. Why can't we give him thanks now? Even if we don't understand. I believe that's what the psalmist is doing here. Not understanding why God is putting him through what he's putting him through. And yet still having a grateful heart. You see, he's watchful in prayer and he's seeing when God answers and he's seeing God responding. Even when God's response is no. Even when God's response is not yet, wait. He's still seeing the hand of God in his life. And so he's becoming more aware of the value of prayer that, no, God hasn't answered yet, but he's not ignoring me. No, he hasn't answered yet, but he wants to grant me the desires of my heart. No, he hasn't answered yet, but I trust he will. Amen. The value of prayer. He's not going to give up. He's going to stick with it. He's going to be fervent. He's going to be regular. He's going to be faithful in prayer. As we move into verses 5 and 6, we find a third awareness the psalmist found. He found an awareness of the worth of God. He found an awareness of the value of prayer. Look at verse number 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. What a wonderful verse. He goes on to say, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. And here I see that through prayer, as he went through the crises, look in verse number 3 again with me. The sorrows of death compassed me. You understand what the word compassed means? It might be pronounced compassed. It means to surround. He says the sorrows of death surrounded me. The word we might use today is overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. He goes on to say, the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Well, that doesn't sound like a good day, does it? That sounds like the kind of day you don't even wish on your worst enemy. Yeah, he's in the midst of that. And as he considers what he experienced, he still says in verse number 5, gracious is the Lord. You understand what grace is? Grace is receiving what we don't deserve. Now, what was he getting? He was getting heartache and sorrow, and it sounds almost like he was experiencing physical sickness, just terrible sickness. Whatever it is he experienced, he doesn't elaborate more than that. But what we find is that he looks back at it and he says, God gave me so much that I didn't deserve. What a thought. What a thought. He says, God is righteous. He doesn't make mistakes. That's what that means. Usually we think righteous just means to be holy. But I think in this sense what it means, because righteousness means to do the right thing, which when we put it into a religious terminology, it means if you're doing the right thing, you're living a holy life. But I think in this context, as he's looking back on what he suffered, and he's considering God's actions throughout the suffering, he's saying, God did the right thing. No, I didn't enjoy it. No, it wasn't easy to experience. But throughout it all, as I look at it, I understand that God did right. He didn't do me wrong. He did me right. More than I deserve. He was gracious. But he also goes on to say, merciful. Merciful. You know, God doesn't give us any more than we can handle. Sometimes we question that because God knows exactly our tipping point. Sometimes he pours that last grain of sand, or if one more grain of sand goes on, that tipping point is met. So sometimes he pushes us to the limit. And so we think during those times when we're called to bear so much to our very extent of our physical, emotional, and spiritual strength, we think, God, I can't bear this. This is more than what I can bear. No, God says you can. He promised in his word, he's merciful to give you no more than you can bear, no more than you can handle. And so if we fail, it's not God's fault. It's our fault that we raise the white flag. What I'm seeing here is he had an increased awareness of the goodness of God. An increased awareness of the goodness of God. He understood that even in suffering, the hand of God was active, and the hand of God was gracious, and the hand of God was righteous, and the hand of God was merciful. If all we do is focus on our circumstances and focus on our crises and focus on all the things that are going wrong in our lives, we're going to become overwhelmed and we're going to be drowned in those thoughts and those feelings. But when we bow the knee, we take our eyes off this world and the circumstances and the situations and the pain and the heartache and the sorrow, and we refocus them on our Lord in heaven, and we cry out to God and say, God, I don't understand. And God, this hurts. And God, this is too much. Guess what God does? He responds. He'll respond. And he'll help us to understand. And he'll help us to see his hand working. And he'll help us to realize his strength and his goodness and his mercy and his righteousness. God is good all the time, as the old saying goes. Even in difficult times. I look back at the most difficult time I ever experienced. It was tough. And it was of long duration. And I look back at it now and I just thank God for it. Because he taught me so much and I grew so much spiritually through it. There was no way I could have grown apart from that. And I think if you reflect on those times in your life, I think you would find the same thing to be true. God is good. He is never not good. God is always kind. He is never not kind. God is always loving. He is never not loving. The way we realize that and have that brought to the forefront of our attention is through prayer. Now, there's other ways it can happen. As we read God's word, we see it, but there's no way like through prayer as you go before God, as you humbly submit to him, and have godly prayer and conversation with God. Well, let's look at one more this morning, verse number 7. He's almost talking to himself here when he says, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. I think what he gained an awareness of that he refers us to here in this verse is he became aware of the sufficiency of God. The sufficiency of God. What do I mean by the sufficiency of God? Just that God's enough. God's enough. We don't need anything else in life. God is sufficient. God is our all in all. As he reflected on what he went through and the person of God through it, his graciousness, his righteousness, his mercy, what he's admitting here is that, God, if I go through it all again, that's okay with me. Because I know you'll go through it with me. I know you'll bless me. I know that you'll care for my every need. As Brother Paul read in our scripture reading, not one sparrow falls to the ground except our Father's aware of it, knows it. How much of greater value or how much more worth are we than a sparrow? The church in Bucyrus, man, there were sparrows everywhere. They loved, because it was a tall building and sandstone, they put their nest at the top of that. Man, it drove you crazy. They were everywhere. When we get to church, or I'd get to church early on a Sunday morning and walk into an ice-cold building because those sparrows had gone into our furnace exhausts. We had a couple of them into those furnace exhausts and build their nests. And because of that, not being able to get enough air flowing out, it would shut the whole system down. And we'd have to go up there and clean those things out. What a mess. So I think of sparrows, I like to step on them like ants. Maybe I'm confessing sin here this morning. I don't know. And I think, wow, God cares for even those pesky, little, ugly sparrows. Now, I don't see color because I'm colorblind. And I even think sparrows are ugly. And God cares for them. How much more do you suppose he cares for me and for you, made in the image of God? Wow. We talked a little bit about that at the start because of what Dr. Mark had brought out from Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. He just spoke and there were sparrows. I love looking at, my favorite bird's a blue jay. I know they're annoying when they start squawking, but I can see blue out there. So I like blue jays, but God spoke and there were blue jays. What about peacocks? Man, you talk about color. Or a macaw. Well, God just spoke, put them there. But when it came to make man, he said, I'm going to do something special here. I'm going to do something I haven't done before. I'm going to do something that's going to make them know how much I care. So he took his hands, he put that clay together and made Adam in the image of God. And because we're in God's image, and because he cares so much, he says, I will be sufficient. I will be all they ever need. Now, a real life example of that, think about Moses. You know, Moses wasn't a perfect guy. He had his issues. But I feel sorry for Moses. I think the only person in Scripture that I feel more sorry for than Moses is probably Joseph. Betrayed by his brothers and just, well, he got the short end of the stick through his whole life, didn't he, up till towards the end. The thing about Moses, he's got this whole several million people, the Hebrews, they're a bunch of whiners and complainers. You ever have a kid who is a whiner and a complainer? Don't they get on your nerves and just want to put them in their place, but you can't? Moses had to take them across and through the Red Sea and out into the desert, the wilderness. Now, God uses the word wilderness rather than desert for a reason. You know, a desert, you assume, well, there's something to eat there. Wilderness, it's just barren. And he's got these millions of people, no water and no food. How would you like a job like that? I wouldn't. But what God was trying to teach Moses, what God was trying to teach the Jews, is I am sufficient. You have a need? Oh, here I am. I'll take care of it. And so he sent a manna. You have a need? The water's poison? Well, there's a stick. Throw it in. I took faith to drink that water, didn't it? All you did was throw a stick in. You don't have any water? Just tap on this rock or talk to this rock, as he said the second time around. He said, I'm here. I'll take care of you. God is sufficient because he loves you so greatly. And that explains why he said, just pray. Just pray. Prayer will do more for your life spiritually and in every other area than anything else you could do. And so, let me encourage you. We'll continue this psalm, Lord willing, next time. But let me encourage you this morning. Pray, because God is faithful. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless it to us. Encourage us. Father, it's so easy to be negligent when it comes to prayer. And yet it's something that's so easy to do. We can do it anywhere we are. And we ought to, because you command us to pray without ceasing. Father, help us to glorify you by being watchful in prayer and then thankful as you respond. Move in our hearts, challenge us. Father, may we make commitments to be more faithful. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.